Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello. I don't know how I am. I'm gonna say okay. Let's start there. I'm okay. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm feeling anxious and I'm ready to share and I'm ready to vent. So I'm
Oh.
excited for this conversation. Yeah.
Okay, well, we should get into it because I want to know what's going on, what's happening.
Yeah, so for those who are listening to us for the first time, or still getting to know us, my name is Zulema Gomez, and I am a parent leader in the state of California.
And my name is Melvette Hill, and I am a parent leader in Connecticut. Today I'm joining from Washington, D.C., though, so I'll tell you more about that later.
Yeah, what are you doing in DC?
So I am here. I am so excited. I am here for a civics conference. It happened yesterday. It was like a full day, like 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., long day, but I loved every second of it. I would say because my work is so centered in civic engagement, that for me, this was like equivalent to the Super Bowl for like football folks. But also, what I told some folks at the conference yesterday, I said, this civics conference today to me is like the Renaissance tour for Beyonce fans. Like
Ooh.
it was just so big. I was not disappointed at all. So many amazing people doing this work of democracy, little d democracy, and just a love for it, and just a need and want to preserve the voice of the people. So that's what DC is about. I love DC, it has great energy.
That's super exciting. That's so exciting. It is for me, it's exciting, yes, that the work is happening, but always to see you as a parent leader and really as a pioneer in this work in those spaces. It always makes me just so glad that you are there for all of us in so many ways.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind. I enjoy being here. Definitely. And it's so amazing because I was texting my brother some news, right? Some things. I was like, can you believe these three things happened this week? And he goes, wait a minute. He said to that last thing, I was like, oh, I'm in DC. News travels fast. Like things happen quickly in DC. You get news much faster. I don't understand why. But it just, and he goes, you're just watching TV. You're watching the same TV as I am. I'm like, I don't know. It happens fast in DC. But it is an honor, right, to show up in spaces representing parents, myself being a parent, but also the voice of parents and holding their sacred stories with me, right? Like not sharing all of their stories, but understanding that I've heard so many amazing stories, so many sad stories, so many sacred things that I carry with me. And it's an honor to carry that with me into spaces and places as I advocate on behalf of family voice and families and both parents and children being included in conversations and at decision-making tables. So it's almost like a ta invisible tattoo. I feel like it's a basket that I carry with me. There's so many things. So thank you for saying that. It means a lot to me.
So for those who don't know, let's see, Melvin, how long have we known each other now? It's been a long, I feel like it's been a long time. Maybe you can think of how many years. It's been a long time, but
At least
we
8 years.
actually,
At
at
least.
least 8 years. Yeah, I think that's right. So we met, was it in Connecticut many years ago where you trained?
Yes.
And it was really through a training for the Parent Leadership Training Institute. And that is the work that we both do, but in different ways. And so I work for the National Parent Leadership Institute, and our work is really to build the capacity of parent leaders, caregivers, and advocates across the country to lead change for children and families. At the same time, we also build the capacity for leaders in systems like education, health, human services, to also partner with parents and caregivers. And so that's the work that I do. And a part of that is that implementation of the Parent Leadership Training Institute. And Melvette, how did you come into that work?
So I do remember us meeting. It was about 8 years ago in, I believe it was Hartford, Connecticut. Sulema, you were one of the facilitators of the training. I was a participant, so I was learning how to facilitate the Parent Leadership Training Institute curriculum. And I was about to be hired in Connecticut as the state director for PLTI in Connecticut, but also as this member of the team at the Commission on Women, Children, and Seniors at the time. And so my work then is, implementing and sustaining PLTI in the state of Connecticut, but also partnering with the National Parent Leadership Institute on ensuring that it is implemented to the fidelity of the model in the other states, right? And so it's been a beautiful partnership. I would say the other piece of my work is not just PLTI and parent leadership, but also family economic mobility. So I do a lot of work with our Connecticut General Assembly, our state legislature, on helping them to understand the issues that intersect at the family, all of the things that affect our families here in Connecticut and their, I guess, their economic mobility and success. So what I like to say in that conversation with people to help them understand kind of the work I do and why it's important is that thriving families drive economies, right? So if the family in Connecticut is not healthy, it's not sound, it's not functioning properly and don't have the supports to do that, then our state's economy, the things that we hope would work well, won't without the family being intact and having supports its needs. So yeah, that's a little bit of the work I do. And then also you and I partner together in the system capacity building work as well for philanthropy and nonprofits and even government. So I enjoy doing that work with you as well.
Yeah. So it's that work, and it's the fact that we are parents first always that really leads us to these conversations around parenting and politics, right? Parents have a right to be in the civic space, to have a voice, and that's what we're here to talk about today. And so I wonder, Malvette, what does this season look like for you? I told you in the beginning, I'm feeling like some anxiety around this time and things that are happening. But what is happening for you as a parent, as a leader in this season?
I think what's happening for me as a parent is the tapping out of commercialism and consumerism, right? So we do celebrate Christmas. We do it probably differently than some other families. And because of our religious background and our faith, we're centered in Christianity. And so it really is about the greatest gift that we've received. And so we in turn celebrate that and give to others, but we're not doing it in like a big, robust kind of way, right? We're doing it in simple terms, because we show love every day, all year. There are different gifts that we give each other. Sometimes there's the gift of kindness or grace. Sometimes it's a physical gift. Hey, I bought this mug for you today. And so I am trying desperately for us not to get sucked into the vortex of commercialism that surrounds this holiday or, this month of December in particular. And as a leader, I'm preparing for legislative session. I'm preparing for the new year. I'm preparing for, we have nine cohorts of our Parent Leadership Training Institute kicking off in January. So we're preparing for that, getting all the facilitators in place and, doing our technical assistance sessions and really centering ourselves and preparing for all of these parent leaders who are going to walk into rooms and want to experience PLTI. So that's kind of what this season is for me. That's what's happening. What's happening for you during this time? You said you're experiencing some anxiety.
Yeah, it's really the way this week has gone. I am a local parent leader that is very involved in education specifically, and And it's also the work that I do. So it is parent voice, parent engagement all the time, every day. It's what I love, and it's just my life because I'm a parent also doing this, and I'm a parent who seeks to be in leadership spaces. And so for the work that we do, I went to a webinar earlier this week, and it was all about how districts evaluate successful family engagement. And I'm a data nerd. I wanted to learn around how this works. What can we use in our work? What could I share with my school district locally? And I won't say the name of who hosted this. It's a huge national organization that
Oh.
talks a lot about family engagement and parent leadership. And on this panel of experts were no parents.
Wow.
Parents were talked about, families were talked about. And I put a question around, like, this is all great. What do parents say about this evaluation process? All the questions were answered, and mine was skipped. And I'm trying not to take that personally, right? And it didn't help that then in another local meeting space in my community, again, the only parent in a family engagement meeting. And it's what I am feeling is this righteous indignation around this continued practice of people talking about family engagement as if they are actually doing it, talking about us. And we are not in that space, right? And I feel like I'm just, again, it's the end of the year. Maybe I'm tired, but I feel like this is the constant question of my life. Where are the parents? How dare you make decisions without us in any way at the table? And then also to call family involvement, to actually say that that's in any way engagement or leadership, right? Many districts, and this is what we see, they give us as parents, this is the budget, and let's vote and let's pass this. That's involvement. You know, I'm looking for true partnership. I mean, you and I are partners, right? When we work together, we come to the table. What are your thoughts? Here are my thoughts. And there's conversation and relationship. What schools call partnership is, I don't know what that is. And so that's what I'm feeling. And so in my body, this frustration that's been building up this week has shown up like anxiety. Like, I don't know what to do with this. And I'm sure I'm gonna channel it in a productive way because I'm a parent leader. It's what we do. But I'm feeling this not just personally as a parent, but I'm feeling it for all the parents that we work with across the country. Always entering these spaces and demanding voice, demanding to have a say in what happens to our families. And it's tiring and it's frustrating. And that's where I'm sitting at right now in this season.
Wow. I think I have an idea of the organization. I won't say. We'll talk offline about that. But I'm frustrated with you. My feelings are hurt for all the parents. I also want to say what frustrates me is that people are like, oh, parents just don't show up. We're doing this thing and the parents didn't come. And they're expecting parents to be involved, but they are not engaging parents. They are not being inclusive. They're not thinking about when is the best time to hold a webinar, to hold a meeting. They're not thinking about the best ways to communicate with and to parents. And they're not even setting up feedback loops, right? So they're like, give us what we want from you, and that's it, right? There's no constant, continuous loop of communication where there's a give and take, there's a mutuality. That's involved. And it is frustrating. I also want to say that when people have these things and they're talking about parents and there are no parents there, it's because you didn't invite them, right? And you didn't include them. But you are talking about them and you're making decisions for them without them. It is very frustrating to see that happen. I want to talk about a bright spot, and then we'll come back to our frustration, but I want to talk about a bright spot. So, Secretary Cardona, right, the Secretary of Education in these United States of America, I have to give a shout out to Secretary Cardona because, you know, he's from Connecticut. He was our Commissioner of Education here before this administration snatched him up. I was excited that I was excited to see that he's trying to be more inclusive, to do things, and really to start centering the voice of parents. We know we have colleagues who are doing some work with him in that area. I was also astounded and surprised, even shocked a little bit, when I found out about November 16th as National Parent Involvement Day, or something like that. Right? There were all the emotions, excitement. Oh, this is great. Oh, why didn't I know about this? Oh, and he did do a webinar in the evening on the East Coast, I might say, which, yay, shout out, kudos, right? For thinking to do something in the evening time, at least on the East Coast, for the folks in Hawaii. I'm sorry, Hawaii, but you know, we can't make everybody happy. And I think that it was good programming, right? People can watch the replay. But it again, where do we have opportunity to get better and to do better? And I know he's open to feedback and communicating with parents, right? I want to do away with this whole concept of involvement, right? I mean,
Absolutely, I
oh,
am
we
so
don't talk
there.
about involvement. There's an awards here in Connecticut. I won't say who does it. And it's like the Parent Involvement Awards. And they always want us to nominate people. I'm like, I don't want to not nominate parents for being involved. The parents that I work with and that we work with and that exist are more than involved, right? Like they are engaged, they are doing things. But it seems like people only want them to be involved. They don't want them to be fully engaged. I think we have to change that. I think we have to start changing the language and reframing it for real, like taking it, scrubbing it out of public documents as a word, like involvement, and really move toward like this universal idea of engagement. I think that some of the frustration will begin to melt away when they understand what engagement really is. I think it took us like 20 years to get to engagement, right? Because it took us probably a good 15 to get to involvement. So it's going to take time to get rid of that. But I think we are making some progress, even in this space of being frustrated. There's some stuff happening. That's one
This is
bright
a great
spot.
reminder, though. I am great. Thank you for saying that there is change. You know, I saw that recording, and that was, of course, because we're like always on the same page. That was my bright spot, was actually that webinar. I had a moment where I was teary-eyed watching a Latino leader on this national scale co-facilitating with a Latina woman with like ASL interpret, right? Like it was beautiful for me to see that kind of leadership and that we are talking about family engagement, right? I think we haven't really seen that in the past. Is there work to do? Yes. Like, can we talk about a shared definition for family engagement? Because family engagement in some spaces looks like we had parents there. And family engagement in the best of spaces looks like we planned together, we created this together, we debated together, and this is what we came up with together, right? That's great family engagement. I would love to see the federal government really create a co-definition with parents around family engagement and offer that as the standard for school districts and not just school districts, but other systems who engage with parents and families. Because right now there is required language. You need to have consumer voice, but there isn't a standard for what that should look like. And that's the next thing, I think, right? That's what you and I try to do in the work that we do, but it would be great, federal government, if we can have some actual standards to hold folks accountable to, right?
I really think it's coming. I really do. I think it's coming. I go back to Secretary Cardona again, really quick, because he is like a superhero of sorts. He says, he came and spoke at an event in Danbury, Connecticut, my hometown. Well, where I live, I'm really, my hometown is Harlem, but Harlem, New York, shout out to all the Harlemites out there. But he came and spoke. He and his wonderful, lovely wife were at this event. And I remember so clearly, he said that his superpower is being bilingual. And let me tell you, every time I see his face, I picture this cape that says bilingual on it, right? Like, they're like, yes, say that again. Right. And it reminds me, in order to keep going, sometimes as a parent, we have to have these superpowers, right? Like, how do we survive and thrive in the space, in the space of change and the hard work? So, Suleyma, I'm going to ask you, what is your superpower this week? Just this week, what is the superpower that you're using to get you through this week?
Oof. I think my superpower this week is I really have a clear vision of what success in family leadership, parent leadership looks like. And that's what keeps me going, right? It's very easy to be frustrated and then like put your hands up and say, like, I can't, right? And I always come back to the why. And what it will look like. And that for me is the motivator. And so having my eye on the prize, right? It's like sometimes the prize moves a little further down, but I'm still running towards it, right? And I think that is an ability that is not it's not easy. But I don't know any other way of being. And I think it's helpful that that prize is also my child is a part of that, right? And other children like him. And I constantly tell him, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for, and for you means not just him personally, but for kids. And I think that's the big thing for me this week. And with that comes patience and love, and all these other motivators for me. Yeah.
So for the people in the back, what was the first superpower you mentioned? Was it the visioning,
Eye on the
the
prize.
eye on the prize? All right, that's your Christmas present. I'm gonna get you a cape that says eye on the prize. Eye on the prize. It's interesting that yours, for those who don't know, we're like the Wonder Twins. That's what we call ourselves, the Wonder Twins, for many different reasons, but in good Wonder Twin fashion. Mine actually has to do with the eye also. Yours is eye on the prize. Mine is observation, right? Like being an observer this week, that was what got me through the week. Kind of not being the talker, not being the facilitator, but being able to be quiet and just to observe. Some things got me through. I think it helped me to stay sane. It helped me to not try to change and fix things in the moment. And so observation and listening, right? But really observing, and really seeing deeply, seeing some people deeply, seeing actions deeply, that got me through the week. And I agree, things like peace, love, grace. Yeah, those are the supporting cast in my superpowers this week.
They don't know what they don't know. So
Right.
that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're getting there. I have to say, so I do these affirmation cards that we got through work, and the one today was, I'll just read it. It's really quick. I am grounded in my truth. And when we came in here to record, I had like all these great things, all these ideas I wanted to share. And then I came in saying, like, no, I have to speak my truth, which is this like frustration that I'm feeling around this work, because I know I'm not the only one. And I'm so glad I did, because I feel much better after this conversation with you, as a friend and as a leader. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
I'm grateful that you're standing your truth and you're owning it. Because I'm all about the truth telling, but with love. So with love. So, So what's exciting? What's happening with parent leadership? Anything new and exciting that you can think about? What's going on? What are we hearing out in the streets?
Honestly, I think what's exciting is upcoming opportunity for parent voice. So there is, so for those who don't know, since 2020, school districts have been receiving funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. And for many of our districts, it's millions and millions of dollars to spend in all kinds of supports. Those funds are going away, and they need to be spent by September of 2024. And early in the process, there was a lot of space for parent voice to inform how those dollars might be spent. And here, as we're sunsetting some of these funds, what I'm excited about is the opportunity as a parent to now inform what do we do now that these dollars might go away. There's an opportunity for us to write letters to our school board, to our superintendents, to ask questions. For me, one of the biggest assets in leadership is to know how to ask questions and to whom. And so just asking questions in the beginning, right? How many dollars did our district receive from the ARPA funds, right? The American Rescue Plan Act funds. Is there somewhere that you can point me to as to how those funds are being spent? Has the board begun to look at what we will do when those dollars go away? Have parents had a voice in this process, right? So in the beginning, it's just questions, but as a parent, this is how we get the process going, right? So for me, what's exciting, especially in education, are these opportunities. So if you're a parent, you're like, where do I start? Where do I go? This is an opportunity, very directly, something that's about to happen. And we don't want to wait till next year, right? So after this break, start writing those letters, start asking questions in January, February, because budgets get passed very soon after the new year. So for me, what's exciting is opportunity. And I, as a parent, have already begun to just like look at some of these things, make a list of some of the questions I want to ask. And then, through that learning process, figure out what are some suggestions that I want to make as a parent? Are there other parents I want to bring into this conversation to ask, like, what do you think? What should we do together? So there's this opportunity right now, and that's exciting. What about for you? Anything specific?
No, I don't think anything nationally specific, but I do like that. I do like having the conversation with oneself first, right? And saying, oh, like I actually can write to my school board or my representative. So I think it's like finding, like everyone should find out who's their representative on their school board and send that letter, that email to them. I like that. I'm taking a note for myself to do that. The other thing I'm thinking about, though, in Connecticut, we're doing a policy forum for some parents to get ready to kind of close out their year, but to be thinking about what are the things that they are most passionate about? What are the issues that are most pressing for them? And start to help them connect with one another on them, right? So we're doing a big policy forum. And then parents will be able to have conversations around those policy issues and then connect afterward and decide what actions they might like to take as they're heading into legislative session. So I do think for parents right now, I think something that's kind of like sitting in my heart, as you know, I watch the news every day and hear all kinds of stories. I think there's an opportunity for parents to really take some time to see their children. Right? Like to step outside of the busyness of daily schedules and work and really like see what's happening with their kids, whether it's you need to check in and see what they're doing on social media, or you need to check in and ask them some questions about what's happening at school. Like really like ask them a very specific question about English class. Like, what was it that you did today in English class that made you smile? Or was there something that your history teacher said that made you pause? Like, we have to start asking these very specific questions of our children to really kind of get to some of the things that are going on inside of them, especially like middle schoolers and high schoolers, because things are happening for them so quickly, so much faster, so at such a rapid pace like we've never seen before. Like with technology, with all these things that were not there when I was definitely that age, it's hard to keep up, right? And then sometimes we wonder as parents, like, what has happened? How did that thing happen to my child? Or why did my child do that? Why did this student do that? Because there were so many things that led up to that behavior, whether it was good or bad. How did, a lot of times people would say to me, your teachers all the time would say to me, your kids are so great. Like, your kids are amazing. And I would say to them with all honesty, oh, it really isn't me. Like, it really isn't me, right? Because in those moments, I had to be honest with myself. How present had I been for them in some of those moments? Some of it was because the village was holding us up, and I had no clue, right? My kids had someone to go to when they couldn't talk to me, even when they were mad at me. And I sometimes I would say, well, it's just God holding us up, or, I mean, but there were things that I knew that I did well as a parent. And sometimes it was the questioning. It wasn't 20 questions, but it was really asking, how are you feeling? Like, what's happening? What's that look on your face? Tell me more about that. Right. And so
Oh,
I think
yes.
this is an opportunity for parents right now as we're getting into whatever holiday you're celebrating or not celebrating, but we're all closing out a year. That's for sure. And it takes some time to ask your children some questions, meaningful, like pointed questions, so that you can get some real answers from them. And then I would also say, and this never gets old, read a book with your child. I don't care what age they are. It's an opportunity. So my youngest is 23, and I bought a children's book on one of my last trips, and I said, I'm gonna go back home and read it with her. And I did. We climbed in my bed and I read her this children's book. She was 23, but it was the most special thing that we've done in a long time. There is
Wow.
never a bad time to connect with your child. Doesn't matter how old they are. And you can do things that made them smile when they were 3 or when they were 12. Guess what? It'll still make them smile. Or you'll get something from them. But if anything, you'll get some time. I don't know.
Yeah, Melvette, this piece around asking questions of what concerns your child has or what's going on in school. Those are the things I think we don't often do enough as a parent. And I was firsthand witness to something this week around my own child. So my child is 12. And we, I do parent surveys often, right? Sometimes you're a part of these groups and you get asked to complete surveys as a parent. And this survey was actually for him. I was asked as a parent to sit with him, but not inform the process. And the questions were actually, what concerns do teenagers have and preteens have for their generation? And what do they want leaders to know? We've never done a survey like that, even though we have civic conversations all the time. And I was surprised by my own child's response. And I wish I had asked sooner. That's the regret that I have this week. I wish I had asked pointedly this question, because I wonder if my advocacy as a parent would have been different, because I'm advocating around certain things that had nothing to do with what he responded. His two primary concerns, climate change, mental health. And he was able to type out exactly why he's concerned for his generation, what he wants adults to know. I wish I had known that, because I don't do climate activism. Am I concerned? Am I, civically engaged in what's happening? I don't do any direct activism. And I wonder, is this an opportunity where I can advocate with him? How do I support his advocacy so it doesn't just stay in this survey space? Like, I'm just concerned about this. And then the mental health piece, absolutely. But again, I don't do direct advocacy there. And so I walked away really wishing I had had this conversation with him in a very direct way. But now I know. Now I know what he's really concerned about because I could see it in his heart. It was a true concern. And I think for all of us as parents, that would be a good practice. What do your kids really care about? Does it align with what we are advocating for? And is there opportunity for us to join with them in advocacy around what they really care about?
Wow, that's powerful. I like it. I want that survey. And
Right.
and it's like, oh, how can I'm thinking like the wheels are turning, like, and how can we do better in our own work, right? In our everyday work. I feel very passionately about the youth leadership component and really wanting to build out more in our work around youth leadership. To me, this is just another sign to get that work going and funded. But I'm so glad that your son was able to inform you and others on what mattered most to him. I think it's the same conversation around parent leadership, right? People making decisions for us about us. And here's a generation of young people who are like, you're all making these decisions about us. We don't even care about that. Here's what we really care about. And I'm glad that he had an opportunity to be able to articulate that in a way that others would be able to receive it and hopefully respond to it.
That's
Yeah.
right.
That is awesome.
So this wraps up our time together today. I'm so grateful for you for this conversation. As we wrap up, we won't see each other again in the podcast space till the new year, but are there any final thoughts, any wishes you want to put out there as we close up the year?
Yeah, I think my wish for families, for parents, and myself as a mother to other mothers, to really think about what matters, what's most important to you, and focus on that. And for me, as I said earlier, right, like this idea of commercialism and consumerism is not the most important thing to me. The economy is very important to me. And how I support that economy, I think, is up to me. And it might not be by spending hundreds or thousands of dollars on Christmas stuff, but it might be how can I use my gifts and talents and myself as an asset to help families thrive so that we can have a thriving economy here in the country. And I would just say, encourage people like, don't go broke doing things that are not going to benefit you. Right? Like January's coming and the bills will be due. So that's my wish. Like just really do what's important. And I'm not judging. If that's important to you, then do it. But I think do what matters most right now.
That's
Our
great.
time is limited and short on this planet.
That's so great. Yeah.
You.
Yeah, I think my wish for this season and in going into the new year for fellow parent leaders in the fight, whatever that looks like for you in community and in family, is to find your people. In this last, what, 35, 45 minutes, I am so fortunate that through a moment of frustration and anxiety, I can count you among my people, right? That even in hard days, I come home to a partner, to family, siblings that push me and support me. And this work, we can't do this alone, any of it. And so if you don't know who your people are, tell us. We want to be your people. Melvette and I want to be your people. We want to not just be your cheerleaders, but support in any way, because this is about all of our children. And if you don't have a community that can support you, we want to be that, because I couldn't do it. I know I can't all by myself. I need my people.
We need
Thank
our
you, Melvette,
people.
and my family. So my wish for you is to find your people in this work. Yeah.
Find your
All right. Well, thanks, Melvette, and I'll talk to you again in the podcast space in January.
Thanks, Sulema, and thank you to everyone out there. Please leave your comments. Leave comments for us here in this podcast space. We would love to hear from you and love to see how you're reacting to what we're sharing.
or questions? Are you wondering about a policy? Are you wondering about a process that you'd like for us to talk about? Anything, leave it in the comments. We're happy to address them.
Okay,
Goodbye,
bye.
everybody.
Bye.
Yeah.